Well, my thanks to our wonderful Act Now Fellowship leaders for the opportunity tonight to share my heart. And I just love the song that Barney played earlier. I hope it came through loud and clear for you. I've been enjoying it today. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. I got in the Word, I guess, in the mid-70s around there. I don't know if that's the time they call the Jesus movement or not, but that's been a while ago. And I was married to a wonderful man, a teacher, a minister of the Word, and we were married for almost 35 years. And now he's just asleep, taking a nap, waiting the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And my love tank right now is pretty darn full. My son came over Thursday evening and spent some time with me, and we really had a real good bonding fellowship time. He lives in Las Vegas. I don't get to see my family as often as I'd like, so I enjoy my time with my family. I have three grandchildren that I, like I said, I don't get to see often enough. I have one great-grandchild, and I've been told there's one in the oven. So they are so yummy, and I love them all so much. And did you know that God wants to spend time with us, just like we like spending time with our friends and our family and having fellowship? God wants to have that with us, and that's available. Maybe if you had children, you know what I mean. That time is very special. And if you didn't, I'm sure you have nieces, nephews, friends, all of that. Is just, you don't get to know people if you don't spend time with them. And God wants to spend time with us. And he wants more than spending time with us. He wants us really to be with him for all eternity. And our first birth to what we call our earthly mother and father was quite a miracle in itself, if you think about it. But God wants more. He wants us to be born a second time. And that one's really even bigger. So this kind of goes out to the unchurched right now, tonight. That everybody can listen and enjoy all the Word. And in Romans 10, 9, and 10, I'll read you this. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and then believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that is a wonderful, wonderful promise of God. Like I said, you were born body and soul, but once you make this confession, God in Christ, that Spirit comes and lives in you, and now you can truly have fellowship with the Father. And maybe you think that's just too easy, speaking that. Well, God never meant for his word to be complicated or hard to understand. It's just sort of how we live our life. I just think of it also says in the Word that we just have faith like a grain of mustard seed. And a mustard seed is teeny, teeny, tiny. And that is so little. That's the faith that God says. We just need a little bit of faith to tell God to receive the promise there of eternal life. Get our foot in the door. Trust me. You want to be on God's team. You don't want to be on the other team. So it may sound a little harsh, but it's true. You just speak it out. It's very simple. Nothing complicated. Nothing hard about it. You won't maybe have fireworks. Maybe you won't have these great emotions. Maybe some did. I know I didn't. I just confessed, and God has worked with me according to my appetite in the Word. And your appetite in the Word, you know, some people have bigger appetites in the Word. Just like, you can kind of relate to it as food. Sometimes you go to a nice restaurant and you sit down, and maybe you're not so hungry, so you just order an appetizer, and that's satisfying. Well, same with the Word. Maybe for the day you just want to read a scripture, and that's satisfying. This little sharing tonight, appetizer. Or maybe you sit down to the table and you're really, really hungry. And you want the appetizer. You want the full six-course meal. And you want the dessert. And that's okay, too. You know, you don't have to, you know, once you're born again, it's a miracle. You don't have to be turned into Sister Super Christian. or brother or pastor this. You don't have to compare yourself with others either. And that sometimes trips us up a little bit because we can get into comparison. But God doesn't want us to do that. We're very, very special to God. He's given us our own personality. And if he wanted robots, trust me, they would be robots on this earth. But God wants us, wants children to fellowship with. And he will reveal himself to you in many, many ways. And, you know, through his written word, number one. So, but anyway, no comparing. So I thought here also in 1 Timothy 2:4, I'll read it to you. Says God, he desires that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So that's God's heart. He wants you to be with him for all eternity. I want to be with God for all eternity. I want my family to be with God all eternity. My friends, it'll be fun. And I don't, right now I just want to go see what we think God says is good. I thought this might be something to look at. What God, some of the things that God says is good here. And I'm just going to read quickly through a little bit here in Genesis 1. You can turn there if you want. You can listen. And this is some of the things that God says is good, that he's good. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. I'm going to skip on down to the 10, and God called the dry land earth and the gathering together. And the earth brought forth grass and herb that yields according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that that was good. Also, I want to just throw it out there, give a shout out to Ken Petty. He did such a beautiful phone conference recently. It was all about how God developed, created the heavens and the earth, the planet, oh my gosh, our animals, plants. I don't have that kind of brain to try to convey that. So this is why I just read it out right here, real simple, and see what God says is good. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide light from the darkness. And God saw that that was good. So God created great creatures, an ever-living thing that moves in the waters, which are in the waters and abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. I think of whales. I love whales. I've been whale watching in Hawaii. I've been blessed to be able to do that several times. And I think that they call it when they breach, is when they flip their tails and splash in the water. It's just truly magnificent that God thinks of all those details. And one time we were on a boat, and the mama pushed on the boat a little bit. Then up came this baby whale skipping. It skipped 5 or 6 times. It was just a sight to see. Beautiful. In 25, and God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God, down verse 31, and God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. So now I'm going to skip over to chapter 2, and there's something that God said was not good. And the Lord God said it is not good, to verse 18 of 2, that man should be alone. So here's Adam. He had the great honor, the great privilege of naming every plant, every bird, every bee, every animal, you name it. He got to name it, and thus it wasn't good. And I get this picture. He's in the garden. All this magnificent beauty that we can't imagine. It was perfect. And I see him there. The hairdressers I trade for years. And I think of it in my silly sense of humor. What was he doing down there with scissors, cutting the heads off of flowers? I don't know. But it wasn't good. And not really. That's just a joke. But I skip down to 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall out of Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib in which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made a woman, and he brought her to man. So God wanted Adam to have the fellowship. Adam saw the animals. They were in pairs. So I am sure he was thrilled. But I almost said, you know, like, I'm sure you've seen it. I've done it in the past myself. God made a whoa, man. Some women will say to the husband, you got to wear that shirt with those pants. What's up with those shoes? Whoa, man. Adam needed a little help, I think. We all did. Go to Numbers. I'm just going to read this. In Numbers, I'm not going to go there. So I'm going to go say, what does God think of you or me? We're God's masterpieces. After everything that he created, all this beauty for us to enjoy in this world, everything is beautiful. Just think of the most beautiful things you can imagine. He calls us his children, his masterpieces. We're more valuable to God than a Monet painting, than a Pollock, than a Rembrandt. You get the picture, no pun intended. But God made us in his image. God does not make any junk. He doesn't. We are the apples of God's eye. He gave us our own very set of fingerprints. Nobody else has them. There's nobody like you or me, which is a good thing. So I'm going to read here. Wait, let's go to 1 John, and I will read you 1 John 4. And in 1 John 4, there again, I'll just read. I'm going to start in verse 7. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is the love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, probably mixing that up, or payment. He was the payment for our sin. Just like when we were born again, God wiped that slate clean. He wiped it clean. All of our sins were forgiven. And we didn't, anyway, moving on. And it's that we know that God loves us, but that he loved and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And no one has seen God at any time. And if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. And by this we know that we are abiding in him, and he in us, and he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son and the Savior of the world. And whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in God, love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he is as we are in this world. So just as like Christ is Son of God, we are God's sons also. And down in verse 20 it says, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? I was going to read this here, what Jesus had to say also, and it's in John 6:37. says, all whom my Father gives me or entrusts me, and the one who comes to me, I will most certainly not cast out. I will never reject one of them who come to me. Isn't that beautiful? And since we have God and Christ in us, we get some of God's traits now. Not all of them, but some of them. You know, we've seen that he's all good. He's all love. His goodness has no bounds. It cannot be measured. His goodness will never run out. There's no limit. He's all love. He's righteous in his ways. He's slow to anger. He has all power. We don't have all power. We have power, but we don't have all power. He is all-knowing. He is invisible. Those are just a few things. I'm sure you can think of a lot more. So what do we have from that? We can be loving. We can be kind. We can be gracious. We can show mercy. We do have power, but not all power. We're not all-knowing like God is, but he will give us knowledge as we ask. And his guidance, there's plenty of guidance in the Bible. And God, and he's also invisible, but you're never going to be invisible in this world. So you might as well give up trying. Some of us have tried. Doesn't work. And God's not mad at you. I don't know whoever started that God is mad at us, up somewhere shaking his fist at us. Once you're born again, like I said, God's wiped that slate clean. Your sins have been removed. He doesn't remember them, so why should you? When we do something wrong, it doesn't make us a bad person. It just makes we probably had a bad choice. So God doesn't. He's not mad at us. You just tell God you're sorry. You move on. Simple as that. Because God didn't make you bad. He made you good. Once you're born again, you are good. That spirit within you is good. He's never going to change. He's never going to give up on it. And God loves you more in a moment of time than you could love or be loved in a lifetime. Isn't that something? And there's communicable things going on out there right now, if you didn't know it. Diseases. Mm-hmm. The COVID-19. Well, I don't want it. I'm sure none of you do also. You know, the COVID-19, the flu, the cancer, disease, in any form, it's not from God. We've seen God is all love. He's all good. He cannot give this stuff. This is from the evil one. And all disease is just an advertise for the evil one. God wants us to be in health. He wants us to prosper and be in health. And you know, it also says in Psalm 37:13, the Lord laughs at him, for he knows his day's coming. He's got his coming. And we've worried way too much. God's got us. But it's written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. That's a tremendous promise also. God loves his children tremendously. And in Psalm 107, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. And God is very, very good. And the wonderful works to his children. You know, I think what's of God is so good? Chocolate lava cake. You cut into that chocolate lava cake, it just oozes. It's got to be of God. It's good. So, fellowship with God, whose team do we want to be on? Now we're on God's team. In Psalm 16:11, God, you will show me the path of life, and in your presence, in that fellowship, in that presence, it's fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there is pleasures forevermore. And I'm going to close with this and Psalm 26:3-6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, or you, all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you.